This week on Vaticano, we explore the Vatican's diplomatic efforts in the face of the ongoing conflict between Russia and Ukraine and the Church's calls for peace. In Rome, the Church celebrates the Jubilee of Ecclesial Movements, highlighting their vibrant contribution to evangelization. Hear from Bishop Ali Herrera, Secretary of the Pontifical Commission for the Protection of Minors. And we bring you insights into Global 2033, a worldwide initiative preparing for the 2000th anniversary of the resurrection. Vaticano starts now.
Peace be with all of you.
From his very first words, Pope Leo XIV made it clear his papacy would be about peace. 10 days later, during his massive inauguration, Pope Leo XIV again called the world to unity, speaking before 200,000 faithful and international leaders, including Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, U.S. Vice President J.D. Vance, and Russia's ambassador to the Holy See. He didn't hesitate to speak the name of Jesus and to name the cure for war and conflict, which is love.
Fratelli, sorelle, questa...
Brothers and sisters, this is the hour for love.
He then prayed for the suffering in Gaza, Myanmar, and war-torn Ukraine, which awaits negotiations for a just and lasting peace. Ahead of the Mass, U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio held meetings with Cardinal Pietro Parolin and Cardinal Matteo Zuppi, the Vatican's envoy to Ukraine. Rubio praised the Holy See's efforts on humanitarian corridors, prisoner exchanges, and the return of Ukrainian children, affirming, in his words, continued collaboration under Pope Leo XIV. After the Mass, Pope Leo met privately with President Zelensky. Ukraine's leadership now welcomed the Vatican's offer to host peace talks, marking a shift from Zelensky's earlier stance that Ukraine needed a just peace, not mediators. The next day, on May the 19th, Vice President Vance presented Pope Leo with a letter from President Donald Trump and First Lady Melania, personally inviting the pontiff to the White House.
Of course.
That same day, Trump posted on Truth Social after a call with President Putin, writing, "The Vatican, as represented by the Pope, has stated that it would be very interested in hosting the negotiations. Let the process begin." All sides initially signaled interest in using the Vatican as a venue for peace talks. However, Russia later withdrew, citing travel constraints, since Vatican City is surrounded by NATO territory. The Holy See quickly reached out to Russia. On June the 4th, the Vatican released a rare public summary of a phone call between Pope Leo and Russian President Vladimir Putin. The Pope urged Putin to make a gesture in favor of peace and discussed humanitarian issues, including prisoner exchanges and aid corridors. In just under 2 months, Pope Leo XIV has catalyzed and accelerated the efforts of Pope Francis and the Vatican's long-standing diplomacy.
Nel nome del Padre, del Figlio e dello Spirito Santo.
The Holy See continues to serve as a neutral meeting ground, open to all parties seeking dialogue. To ensure continuity, Pope Leo confirmed key leaders. Cardinal Parolin remains Secretary of State, and Cardinal Zuppi continues as Papal Envoy for Peace. Stay tuned as we soon explore the Jubilee of Ecclesiastical Movements, right here on Vaticano. On the 7th and 8th of June, countless groups of faithful operating within the Church shared their experience of service to religious, spiritual, and social life. More than 70,000 members of various ecclesial movements and associations from over 100 different countries came to Rome to celebrate their 2-day-long jubilee. These movements arise from a spiritual charism and sense of mission, often with a lay-driven focus.
First of all, it is, for us, a great occasion of grace to be able to walk together and to remind ourselves that the commitment of associations is to walk together, together with Saint Augustine, to walk and to sing together, singing to give thanks, because truly these days and these encounters reveal to us the abundance we have.
The Azione Cattolica Italiana, approved by Pope Pius IX in 1868, is one of the oldest church movements that has been offering a path of human and spiritual growth to all ages, and is one of the most active lay associations worldwide, counting 400,000 members and more than 1 million participants in activities.
Dall'Azione Cattolica.
From Italian Catholic Action in the various countries, we take with us and bring here our cultures, our languages, our diversity. But in this diversity, we are one Catholic Action, Azione Cattolica. And here, we experience the universality of the Church. With all these differences, we are one people of God.
Siamo un solo popolo di Dio.
We are one people of God. This was the profound meaning of the Jubilee of Ecclesial Movements held here in Rome. It resonates deeply with the guiding theme of the new pontificate, rooted in the Augustinian tradition, in illo uno unum, in the one we are one.
Questo nuovo Papa già nominato in tutto.
Our new Pope has already mentioned in all his speeches the word unity more than 20 times, and then in his own model he invokes precisely, in the one Jesus we are all one.
Siamo tutti uno.
For Aurelio Mole, responsible for the press office of the Focolare movement, the main challenge is to walk together.
Adesso siamo in questa fase.
We are now in this phase where the movements have had some downsizing after their growth, the initial energizing phase. Now they have to walk more and more together, move forward united, because the great challenges of peace, ecological conversion, the poor, migration, can only be carried forward in a network, one with the other.
The Jubilee began on Saturday when in the afternoon the participants gathered in St. Peter's Square waiting for the prayer vigil with Pope Leo on the eve of Pentecost. That was a time of celebration and reflection, animated by a choir of 130 people from all over the world and enriched by the testimonies of members of different church movements. Among them, there were Pedro and Maria Begonia Sanchez from the Neo-Catechumenal Way, parents of 12 children and missionary spouses in Ukraine.
Noi abbiamo offerto, diciamo così, la nostra vita.
We have offered, so to speak, our life for the church where there is need. We have already been in Ukraine for 15 years. Pope Benedict XVI sent us to Donetsk, and after 2 years there, he moved us to Kiev, and we are still there. We have seen that this is also the providence of God that continues to be with us and help us in our marriage.
The Neo-Catechumenal Way is often described as a journey of faith formation, a tool for ongoing catechesis, offered in service to bishops and pastors, especially through its vibrant presence in parishes, as exemplified by the work of Pedro and Maria Begonia.
Faith is a light for the world because we live the faith through this charism, which has the vocation not to seek those who already believe, but to call out to those who are far from the faith. That's why we are also in Ukraine. That's why I always say that if I hadn't come to know the faith through the way, maybe I wouldn't even be in the church, because I was very broken, and the Lord chose this concrete reality.
On Saturday evening in St. Peter's Square, the Holy Father presided over the Pentecost Vigil, the spiritual heart of this Jubilee event and a powerful sign of the unity and diversity of the Spirit's gifts in the church, made visible through the participation of numerous ecclesial movements from around the world.
In un mondo lacerato e senza pace.
In a divided and troubled world, the Holy Spirit teaches us to walk together in unity. The earth will rest, justice will prevail. The poor will rejoice and peace will return. Once we no longer act as predators, but as pilgrims, no longer each of us for ourselves, but walking alongside one another.
The fulfillment of the mission of ecclesial movements in evangelization, service, and the promotion of faith depends on a shared sense of unity. These movements play a vital role in the Church's growth and in advancing a more just and united world, especially during this Jubilee of Hope, which calls for renewed commitment and optimism.
Hope is not an easy optimism. And this time, it is difficult to be men and women of hope. For us, hope is a person. It is Jesus Christ. And we know that for us to hope means to live as the Lord has shown us, and thus to be witnesses of his gospel today.
Since 2014, the Pontifical Commission for the Protection of Minors has played a crucial role in promoting the safety and well-being of minors and vulnerable individuals within the Church. Bishop Luis Manuel Ali Herrera, who serves as the Commission's secretary, is committed to supporting survivors of abuse and formulating strategies to prevent future cases. His efforts are part of a wider initiative within the Church to promote healing and uphold justice for those who have been harmed. This mission was reaffirmed during a recent meeting with Pope Leo, who expressed his continued support for the Commission's work and emphasized the Church's responsibility in safeguarding the vulnerable. Paula Arriaza, EWTN Vatican correspondent, spoke with Bishop Herrera to explore the challenges facing the Commission and the mission entrusted to it by the late Pope Francis.
El Papa Francisco nos lo dijo, nos escribió un mensaje en el 2023.
Pope Francis reminded us of this in a message he sent in 2023 to all members of the Pontifical Commission for the Protection of Minors. He said that we need a spirituality of reparation. When someone is harmed, especially a victim of abuse, the damage is devastating. It harms not only the individual, but also the very image of God within them. It breaks their relationship with the Church, their relationships with others, and their sense of self. For the victim, it shatters life plans and deeply affects their ability to recover and be resilient. That's why reparation isn't just a single act, it's a broad and ongoing process, one that starts above all with truly listening to the victims.
How does the Commission ensure that victims are at the center?
One thing I want to highlight is that within the Pontifical Commission, we have victims themselves as members. Their voices are essential, not only to understand how to speak to other victims and survivors, but also to guide our response in prevention efforts. Their experience helps shape everything we do.
Do you remember any conversation where you listened to a victim and were able to understand their pain? And not just that, but also think of ways to help them.
My Lord has many ways of calling us. One of those came when I met a victim, when I had the opportunity to speak face to face with that person. It completely changed me. Of course, I had read about it, studied it, analyzed it in my academic work, but it's something entirely different when you're faced with tears, with pain, with that deep sense of hopelessness.
You propose this psychoaffective formation for seminarians and for people in the discernment process. What does this formation involve?
In initial formation, in the seminary, effective community and sexual formation must be present from the very beginning, from the propaedeutic stage, all the way through to the final year of theological studies. It has to be a process. something ongoing and integrated that also involves continuous work on the emotional world and on interpersonal relationships.
De las relaciones interpersonales.
When we talk about new vocations, do you think that the abuse crisis has, to some extent, affected or acted as a deterrent for new vocations?
Ha afectado.
It has affected us, but it has also helped. It has affected us, and this is clearly seen in some situations where information begins to appear in the media about sexual abuse committed by priests or by male or female religious. That has an impact on vocations, on the number of young men who choose the priestly life. But it has also had a positive impact because it has led us to rethink the way we carry our vocational ministry. We've realized that we are also people. We have our own emotional conflicts, our own crises, and that before the Lord and through a real process, we have to face them like any other human being. In other words, it has helped us to understand that the priest is a human person.
On March 31st, the works displayed on the facade of one of the main basilicas at the Sanctuary of Lourdes, created by Marko Rupnik, were covered. What does the Commission think of these measures? Do you believe this is an approach to the victims?
El arte es una herramienta muy poderosa de sanación.
Art is a very powerful tool for healing, but at the same time, both the content of a work of art and the artist behind it can be traumatizing for someone who has suffered this horrific crime. When they see a piece of art, they may feel re-traumatized. We can reflect on this and make a discernment with the victims in mind. That doesn't mean we are making judgments ahead of time or interfering with the process we fully respect. It's about putting ourselves in the shoes of the victims.
Es ponerse en los zapatos de las víctimas.
Monseñor Luis Manuel Ali Herrera.
Thank you very much.
With pleasure.
Coming up, we'll show how Catholics are preparing for the 2000th anniversary of Jesus' resurrection.
Saint Paul VI, he wrote this apostolic adhortation or encouragement, and there is written, the church exists for evangelization. It means the goal of the church is not in herself, but the main task of the church is to expand the kingdom of God in the surrounding world.
How good are we as Catholics?
I think that we are at the beginning just.
During the Jubilee of Hope this year in Rome, many are already talking about the big Jubilee year of 2033 AD, the year in which our calendar marks the 2000th anniversary of the Passion, Death, and Resurrection of Jesus Christ. In the small Italian town of Fuji, beautifully located in the hills just outside of Rome, the Catholic organization Global 2033 brought together more than 200 leaders from across the globe to prepare for this next big jubilee. Participants came from various Christian denominations.
On Pentecost Sunday, June 5th, 2033, that will be the 2000th birthday of Christianity. It's the 2000th birthday of the church, 2000th celebration of the resurrection. And so all around the world, Christians of every different tribe for probably about a decade have been thinking, how are we going to celebrate the 2000th birthday of Christ's church, the body of Christ on earth? And people say, well, what do you give God who has everything? He wants his lost children found.
How are we Catholics reacting to this?
There is a spirit of a new revival, of renewal, of a revitalization in the body of Christ. It's happening among Catholics. It's happening in other brands or tribes or groups of Christians. I'm seeing it particularly in the youngest generation. Here's the big idea. Nobody can complete the Great Commission on their own. But together, if we each do our part, it's not that hard, because one out of every three people on the planet Earth claims to be a follower of Christ. God does not want uniformity. He wants unity.
I saw you praying with Archbishop Stankiewicz, with other leaders of other churches.
Absolutely. And I pray with anybody who believes Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. And these are brothers and sisters in Christ.
Archbishop Stankiewicz traveled from Riga, Latvia, to participate in the conference.
The focus is to transmit the gospel to the millions of people, and for leaders, because leaders are invited from all of the world, and to help them to be equipped with instruments. How to do it, how to transmit a message, how to make discipleship and inspire people to share the gospel.
He also shared with the group his own experiences in evangelizing.
I have also experience of 10 years being as lay person, as engineer. And I was trying to evangelize. I was a member of underground ecumenical group. And I felt in my heart this desire, this fire to evangelize everybody around me.
And underground because this was still under the Soviet
Union. In the Soviet Union. And after 3 years of my staying there, this community was persecuted. The founder was put in prison.
Sabina and Henry Capello, who are the founders of Global 2033, explain further what motivated them to mark the year 2033 in their calendars and bring high-level Christian leaders together in Rome.
Global 2033 is primarily a consortium of organizations and movements, dioceses and entities in the Catholic Church, with one objective: to bring the gospel to all mankind, to fulfill the Great Commission. 2,000 years after Jesus said to us to go and make disciples to all nations, only 1/3 of the population of 8 billion people have heard about Jesus and have accepted Jesus in their lives as their Lord and Savior.
This Pentecost, also Pope Leo XIV spoke about evangelization and highlighted its importance.
Evangelizzazione, cari fratelli e sorelle.
Evangelization, dear brothers and sisters, is not our attempt to conquer the world, but the infinite grace that radiates from lives transformed by the kingdom of God. Evangelization is always God's work. The challenges facing humanity will be less frightening, the future will be less dark, and discernment will be less complicated if together we obey the Holy Spirit.
Obbediremo allo Spirito Santo.